Please take your Bibles and open them to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. When you found your place in your copy of Scripture, would you please stand as we read our sermon text together? Exodus 3, verses 1 to 6. This is the word of the Lord. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Let us pray. O Lord, as we come into your presence, we see, we know that you are holy, and we are a sinful people. So we come only by your grace through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood that we might be redeemed from our sin. We come to you this morning ready to hear. I pray that if there is someone who is here today who is not a Christian, that they would see and hear and believe. They would fear and repent and be saved. I pray for all who are Christians here today that we might learn to be humbly reverent and submit our lives to you. Accomplish your good purposes in our midst this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are some people that you will remember meeting. I remember the day I met my wife, for example. It was move-in day for the freshmen at Henderson State University, and she was an incoming freshman. I was working for a campus ministry that served two university campuses there in Arkadelphia, and I was working the table, and here she comes, and she doesn't recall this, or says she doesn't, but she was wearing a Mickey Mouse hat and a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. She'd just been to Disney World, I found out. And that's where we met. I remember when I met Ron and Betty. They picked us up at the airport in Bloomington when we were coming and meeting with the search committee 9 years ago. There are other people I have no recollection of meeting. I don't remember meeting Michael. I don't remember the day we met. Michael, I went to the church in Texas as an intern and then became the pastor. Michael grew up in the church there, and he was one of the teenagers. And I know that we must have met at some point, but he didn't make an impression on me at the time. What can I say? You know, there are some people you remember meeting. There are others you don't remember meeting. But meeting people, it's all basically the same. No matter who they are, whether they are socially superior to you or socially inferior, or whether you're on the same level socially, you're encountering another human being, another person. And conceivably, you could meet anybody in the world that you wanted to. There are means by which you could go about meeting the Queen of England or the President of the United States. And though those are possibly difficult people to gain access to, you could still do it some way, somehow. But when it comes to God, we're talking about something completely different. Meeting God is different than meeting another person. You see, on our own, we cannot and will not, may not know or encounter or engage with God in any way. On our own, there is absolutely no possible way for us to connect to God. You and I could jump from where we are sitting right now, jump all the way to the sun, land on the sun, walk all the way around it, jump back and land in our pews much more easily than we could encounter God on our own. But this doesn't mean people don't encounter God. They do. But it begins with God. From the life of Moses, I want us to learn this morning that it is an act of grace on God's part to reveal Himself to His people so that we might know Him. To encounter God, to know God, to have a relationship with God, He reveals Himself to us. And we see this illustrated here in our text this morning. First of all, I want you to note the way God reveals Himself to us. It's a two-step process. The way that God reveals Himself to us is, first of all, step one, God reveals Himself by interrupting us. Moses was living his life, carrying on, going through his daily routine. Remember, we learned last week that Moses tried to become the deliverer of his people by killing an Egyptian. When his evil acts became known, he fled to the wilderness of Midian on the Sinai Peninsula. There he encountered Jethro's family. He married Jethro's daughter. They had children. Moses became a shepherd, and they settled in there. For 40 years, Moses lived day by day following his routine. He'd wake up in the morning, eat breakfast. He'd shepherd the sheep out. He'd tend the flock. He'd protect them from the wild animals. When it was time to give birth, he would help the lambs come. When it was time to slaughter, he would do that. When it was time to shear them, he would shear the sheep. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he had settled in to his routine. And then one day, God showed up. God interrupted his life. As he was out there taking care of the sheep as he had done for many days prior, something in the distance caught his eye. He looked up and he saw a fire on the side of the mountain. Maybe he thought, that's interesting. Maybe there was a lightning strike. Maybe someone came along and they tried to start a fire. He saw something in the distance. And as he kept looking, he realized it's not spreading. It's not growing, but it's not diminishing either. It continued to burn, and he was intrigued by this. his routine was disrupted, and so he goes to investigate. This is what God does to us. God comes into our lives. He interrupts our routine. He breaks into our schedules. He grabs our attention, and he draws us in without us even really realizing what's happening. God uses the circumstances of our lives. God uses the things that happen, the people we encounter, the experiences that we have. He uses those things to interrupt our day-by-day existence. He gets our attention. Sometimes he does it through painful circumstances. God allows us to go through painful circumstances, maybe a diagnosis on our health, a tragedy in our lives, a setback at work, a broken relationship, financial ruin, or maybe it's just a sense of despair. God does something to wake us up from the day-to-day routine and make us look deeper into something that has grabbed our attention. God interrupts us. And then step number two, God reveals himself by speaking to us. God comes in and he speaks. As Moses approaches the bush to check out this strange sight, the voice of God is heard. He calls him, "Moses, Moses." He heard an audible voice. God appeared to many people in the Old Testament. He appeared to the prophets in various ways, through manifestations, visions, and dreams. He appeared to others, like Belshazzar in the book of Daniel and his act of wickedness. God gave him a vision. He saw a hand, a disembodied hand, writing on the wall. He was terrified. God manifested himself and God spoke. He revealed himself. In the New Testament, we find that the ultimate revelation of God is through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1-3 says that in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. God has spoken to us through Jesus. And if you want to know God, you have to know Christ. To know Christ is to know God. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 14. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." How? Through Jesus. The only way to God, the only way to know God is through Jesus. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been committed to me," to Jesus, "by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." This morning, if you want to know God, God has spoken, but he has spoken through his Son. And to know God, you must know his Son. You must know Jesus. There are not multiple paths. There are not different religious avenues. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you want to know Jesus, you better look to the book. You look to Scripture. Jesus says in John 5:39, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me." The Scriptures tell us about Jesus. If you want to know God this morning, I have good news for you. God has chosen to reveal himself. You cannot gain access to God. There is no way you will ever know God on your own. God is inaccessible to us, But God, in His grace and mercy, has revealed Himself to us. He has shown Himself to us, and He's done it through His Son. If you want to know God, you must then know Jesus. And Jesus speaks to us today through the Word of God, through Holy Scripture. To hear and know God today, we must listen to Him when He speaks to us in the Bible, which will lead us to Christ. So this is how God has revealed Himself to us today. This is how God is pleased to show Himself to us. Not through your preferred method, not through your desired means. This is the avenue. This is the path that God has chosen to reveal Himself. And as God reveals Himself, there are some truths that He tells us. There are some things about God that we need to know and understand. And as He reveals these things about Himself, we need to accept Him and believe them because these are the truths of God. As Moses encountered God here in Exodus 3, we find that first of all, God revealed Himself to be transcendent. I use some big words this morning. These aren't words we normally use, but they're important words. God revealed Himself to be transcendent. In verse number 2, we see that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses. He was the intermediary between God and Moses. This was a common occurrence in the ancient world. You see, commoners did not approach the king. Commoners did not have conversations with the king. The king did not speak directly to the commoners. He used a mouthpiece, someone who would speak on behalf of the king. There's a great illustration of this in the book of Esther. In Esther, King Xerxes allowed no one to come into his presence if he did not summons them. If someone would dare come into his presence, if the king did not extend his scepter, that person would be immediately executed. When her people were threatened, Mordecai urged Esther to go and appear before the king, and she was terrified to do so because she had not been summoned for quite some time. When she drew the courage to go, the king was kind and extended the scepter. Here we see an illustration of the transcendence of God. He is far and above, away from us. The Scripture uses the language to describe as God as being above us. Psalm 97, verse 9, for example, says, "For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." This description of God being above isn't necessarily a geography lesson. Yuri Gagarin, the Russian cosmonaut who first entered into space, said, "I've been to space and I didn't see God. He wasn't there. He doesn't exist." When the Bible talks about God being above us, it's not talking about a geography. It's not talking about space. It's a way for the Scripture to communicate to us the inaccessibility of God to us. God is unapproachable apart from His grace toward us. He is transcendent. He is above us. We can't reach Him. We can't change Him. We can't affect Him. However, there's a related truth. God reveals Himself to be transcendent, but He also reveals Himself to be immanent, to be close, to be near. He is involved with creation. Hence, He sees and He hears what's happening in Israel. Look back at chapter 2, verse 23. "During a long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery, went up to God. God heard their groaning. He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. So God looked upon the Israelites and was concerned about them. God is eminent. He is close. He's close to all of us, and He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows your grief. And we hold these truths together. That God is transcendent. He is far above and inaccessible, but He cares. He loves us. Joshua 2:11 says, "The Lord your God is in heaven above," that's His transcendence, "and on the earth below," that's His eminence. He's near to us. The word eminence refers to God's nearness, His presence on earth, and especially with His people. By the way, this dispels the heresy of deism. The idea that there is a God, but He just put it all together and has walked away from it. You remember those old infomercials? The guy who promised that you could set it and forget it. You remember that? Anybody? Nobody remembers that. You just throw all your ingredients in it. You set it, you set the timer, whatever it is, and you forget it. You come back and it's this amazing meal. I think you can make a Thanksgiving meal in one of those little pots if you believe those infomercials. Some people think that's what God has done. He said it and He's forget it. He forgets it. He's made the world. He's put it together and He's walked away from it. That is a lie. God has not walked away from you. He's not walked away from me. He's not walked away from this world. He is involved because He is eminent. Because He cares. The third thing that we are told about God is that He is holy. He reveals Himself to be holy here in verse number 5. "Don't come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes, Moses." Show respect, show reverence. This place is holy because I am holy. In Isaiah 6, the angels surrounded the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In Revelation 4, the angelic beings cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God is holy. Holiness means that God is absolutely unique and uniquely excellent above all creation and is completely without sin. He is morally pure and perfect. So there are two aspects to holiness. It's the moral purity and apartness or otherness. God is not like creation. He's not like us. He's not like you and me. He's different. He's set apart. The holy God who is morally pure, completely righteous, utterly apart from all else that exists, yet comes near to us and calls us to know and worship and honor Him. Fourth, He reveals Himself to be the eternal God. God is eternal. In verse number 6, He says, "I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He's pointing out that He is the everlasting and the unchanging God. He was the same God for Abraham. He was the same God for Isaac. He was the same God for Jacob. He's the same God for Abraham's or for Moses' father. And He is the same God for Moses. Dear friends, He was the same God for Peter, the same God for Paul. He's the same God for you and for me. He is eternal. He is unchanging. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." He is the eternal God. God doesn't change. He doesn't evolve. He doesn't grow. He doesn't get better. He doesn't get worse. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And that does not ever change. that mean old Pharaoh that Moses was so afraid of. He died. And a new Pharaoh came to throne. But he's turned to dust now. But God is eternal and unchanging. The fifth thing that we learn about God reveals Himself to be loving. When God says, "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob," He is speaking of the covenant that He has established with them. A covenant that comes from love. In Jeremiah 30, verse 22, the Lord says, "You will be my people and I will be your God." And in 1 John 3, 1, we read, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." It is love that causes God to have a relationship with us, to reveal Himself to us. The God who is above and inaccessible to us has come near. In His nearness, we are reminded that He is holy and we are not, because He is eternal and unchanging, but He still loves us. And He proved His love by redeeming a sinful, fallen people. He was about to prove His love for Israel by saving them out of Egypt, which would become a picture of Christ saving us out of our sin. And the God who did the miracles in Exodus is the God who did the miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the God who works in your life and in my life, and in the miracle of His grace saves us and makes us His. Because God comes and reveals Himself to us, we now must respond. So how will we respond to God's revelation of Himself? You really have two choices. And I want to encourage you, I want to plead with you to be quick to respond with humble reverence. So Moses did. Verse 6, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I think we need to keep two truths in balance. There's a tension that ought to exist in the Christian life. On one hand, we need to feel like we can come to God because He is our Father. We can run to Him. We can draw near to Him because He loves us and He cares about us. And that is so true. But we must also remember He is a God to be feared. We must revere Him. Let us not become too casual with God. Let us give Him honor and reverence and worship and devotion. That's what Moses does here. Moses will commune with God face to face. Moses is a friend of God. Yet Moses never presumes upon the Lord. He always shows the Lord reverence. Is that the way that you live your life? Christian, are you humbly reverent before God? If you are, it will cause you to worship Him. It will cause you to honor Him, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. The things that you do, the words that you say, you want them to be pleasing to Him, to represent Him well. Are you humble and reverent before God today? The opposite response is possible. Beware of responding with hardened rejection. When God reveals Himself, we have a choice. We will humble ourselves before God, we will be reverent before Him, or we will have hardened hearts that reject Him. In just a few weeks, we're going to see Pharaoh do this very thing. And dear friends, some of you have been doing this for weeks and months, and even years. Because you've come and you've heard of God's love. You've heard of God's holiness. You've heard that He is the one true God that deserves our reverence and our worship. Yet you continue to live your life as you see fit, in whatever way that you please. You are rejecting the revelation of God to go your own way. And dear friends, that only leads to devastation and ruin. So how will you respond to God today? The only way to know God is through Jesus Christ, as revealed in His Word. He's interrupted your life today. He's brought you to this place so that you can hear this message. Will you humble yourself and receive these truths about God? And show Him reverence? Or will you continue to reject Him? What will you do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we honor You today. May we be reverent and humbled before You. The God who is above all, the one true God who has come near, who is holy and eternal and loving. I pray, O Lord, for the salvation of the lost. And I pray that we, Your people, would follow Moses' example and be humbly reverent. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.